Began to take a look at this. We began looking at number three. We looked at letter A, the asking about Christ's royalty. And underneath that, we talked about the contempt by Pilate. And then we talked about the challenge of Pilate. And then we continued on and left off just near the end of the challenge of Pilate. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read just a couple of verses. We're going to read verse number 35 and verse number 36 of John chapter number 18, just as a refresher for us for the few minutes that we have. And we'll go on to the contending by Pilate. So that's John chapter number 18, verse number 34, and verse number 35 and 36. Right. Bible says in John chapter 18, beginning of verse 34, then Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or that others tell it of thee? Pilate answered, am I a Jew, that thine own nation and the chief of priests have delivered thee unto me? What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Father, we love you. We come before you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege we have as we study the crucifixion of your Son. So, Father, I pray now you'll help us as we continue in this thought, Father, of this idea of the contending by Pilate. So, Lord, I pray that you will bless, be a help to your people, and we ask and pray these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Look again at verse number 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation, the chief priests, had delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Notice, first of all, under the contending by Pilate, notice the evasion of the issue. See, when he had this question, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? That thine own nation, the chief priests, had delivered unto thee. What hast thou done? Is there something just inherently wrong about what Pilate is asking the Lord Jesus Christ here in verse number 35? Look at that verse and meditate upon it for a moment, and I think you'll find very quickly there's something inherently and disastrously wrong with Pilate's question to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Ed? He's passing a buck? Yes, he is passing a buck, but I was thinking about something else. Think about it. Here we have an accused standing before a judge. And what is the judge asking him? Judge should already know. What question is the judge asked the Lord? At the very end, verse 35, the last part. What hast thou done? Now think about it here for just a moment. There's no doubt that Pilate begins to squirm just a little bit by the challenge of Jesus Christ in verse number 34. He tries to pass off the question by saying that he's not a Jew and he has no really obligation to this thing. People are always trying to avoid Jesus Christ. Think about it. We have lots of excuses, don't we? We have excuses for not coming to church. We have excuses for not going soul winning. We have excuses for not reading our Bible. We have excuses just for not, if you're here today and you're not saved, for not receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Some have the excuses, I'm just too busy. I don't have time for something else in my life. And some say they don't have time to do with anything with religion. They don't want to talk about religion. That's their excuse. And all these reasons are really just excuses, but here's the truth. If you evade the issue of Jesus Christ and you're going to die and go to a Christless hell, and well, you'll spend it all in eternity. But as I think about this question, what hast thou done? What a question that is. What a question that is. We'll get to that in just a moment or two. So we see the evasion of the issue, then notice the evil of the Israelites. Notice what he says. Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. You see, here we find that Pilate looking at Jesus Christ, and he said, listen, I'm not even a Jew. And he said, your own people, the Jewish people, your own nation has delivered you to me because they want me to condemn you and put you to death. And really, that's an indictment upon the Jews and the Jewish nation, the whole nation of Israel. And no doubt that probably helps explain why Israel had so many troubles down through the years and down through the centuries because of the rejection of the promised Messiah. But listen, in one day, when Israel returns and begins to serve Jesus Christ, guess what? He'll be there with all his glory and all his power to claim his wayward children. It kind of reminds me of the criticism of God's work. You know, when people begin to criticize God's church and God's work and God's man and God's servant, you know, most times, where does that come from? It doesn't come from the lost person that lives two blocks away. Criticism from God's house and God's man and God's people and God's church, usually, guess where it comes from? It comes from within. And the people inside the local New Testament church oftentimes are the ones who should be supporting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the same ones that are condemning the work of Christ. The Jews, Jesus Christ came to the Jewish nation. He came specifically for them. But guess what? They rejected him. And it is really no different today. In John 1, verse number 11, we find those famous words. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So don't be surprised when you're out door knocking Saturday, you're door knocking during our mission trip to Hampton, Virginia, and doors get slammed in your face and people say foul words to you and they reject what you offer. Listen, they rejected the Messiah himself. The people he specifically came to, he rejected. So no wonder we find the evasion of the issue and the evil of the Israelites. Thine own nation, the chief priests, have delivered thee unto me. So don't be surprised when you're delivered and you're mocked and you're made fun of and they make fun of you as you go knocking on doors. But then notice number four. Notice the chicanery of Pilate, the chicanery of Pilate. Verse number 18 and verse number 35, this is what I was getting at earlier. I just kind of got ahead of myself. Notice what Pilate says, "What hast thou done?" So after Jesus Christ challenged Pilate and asked Pilate what he had done to be brought to the court and be accused by so many people. Now you think about that statement. I know Miss Nola has taken a couple of law classes in her day, and Miss Nola, has a judge ever stood and a defendant stood up at his little defendant table and the judge pointed his bony finger and said, "What hast thou done?" Has the judge ever did that? No. Because the judge shouldn't have to do that. The judge should already have an accusation about something that is happening. And so we find the inquiry of Pilate was nothing more than chicanery. And anybody tell me to define that legal term of chicanery? Anybody know what that means? Chicanery? Pardon me? Foolishness, that's exactly right. It's legal trickery that is mean and unfair. So we find then that Pilate's saying, "What has thou done?" I said, "Your own people brought them here to me. What have you done?" And so by saying that, guess what? He's already assuming something. What? That Christ is guilty. He's guilty of something. In other words, he said, "What hast thou done? Your own people have brought you here. You must have did something. What have you done?" So notice the injustice in the inquiry. Asking Christ what he had done was, it's inexcusable for a judge to do that. No judge would do that. Maybe a prosecutor might, but a judge would never do that. You don't ask the accused to condemn yourself. You don't stand in court and the judge says, "All right, what'd you do? All right, I'm caught. I'll tell you what I did. You know, but you pled not guilty. I don't care. I'm just going to tell you what I did because you asked me." That's unfair. It doesn't happen that way. If Pilate wants criminal charges against Jesus Christ, guess what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to get some witnesses to be brought in to prove the allegations of the Sanhedrin against Jesus Christ. Pilate was very rude and very humiliating to the Lord Jesus Christ in this inquiry. And the questions Pilate asked Christ implied that he was already guilty. So he said, "What hast thou done?" And so he's implying that he's guilty. So he's basically telling the Lord, "Listen, your own people have brought you here. Just tell me what you have done so I can pass the death sentence on to you like they want me to do." And so the whole line of questioning really has to do more with political correctness than it does with justice and truth. Because if they wanted justice and truth, guess what? Well, they would have had witnesses, true witnesses, not false witnesses, and they had a proper trial, but we see that is not the case. Well, notice the injustice in the inquiry, but letter B, notice the informing for this inquiry, the informing for this inquiry. You see, the Bible has many answers concerning Jesus Christ. Now, what was the question Pilate asked the Lord? What hast thou done? What hast thou done? You know, we think about that. The Bible has the answer to that question. The problem is those answers never got into the court of Pilate, did they? What hast thou done? He didn't give an answer. To give some answers to Pilate's question, I think there's a couple things that if you and I were the defense attorney for the Lord Jesus Christ, we could say, first of all, there are mighty things that he has done. Turning your Bible to John chapter 1 and verse number 3. John 1 and verse number 3. What hast thou done? There's some mighty things that Christ has done. I'm not here to rank the mightiest thing to the least of things he has done. Anything he has done is mighty and it's great. But, I mean, you look at John 1 and verse number 3 and you think, wow, that's a big thing. That's a mighty thing. Who would read that? John 1 and 3. All right, Ed? Sorry, you've been hanging around me too long. Sorry. Amen. So look, there are mighty things that Christ said. What hast thou done? I mean, you know, the Lord could have said, well, listen, I did some mighty things. Well, what the mighty things have you done? Well, see this earth that you have? Not only did I make it, but it consists, it's held together because of me, amen? And that would have been a true statement. But then there's also some merciful things that Christ has done. Number one, he fed the hungry. Thank God for that, the 3,000 to 5,000, and no doubt probably numerous other times, although not recorded in the Bible for us. He healed the sick, the lame could walk, and the sick people. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. He made the blind to see. He made the lame man to walk. I think particularly of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Boy, what an exciting time that was. And at the very least, he raised people from the dead. Turning your Bibles to John 21 and verse 25. John 21 and verse number 25. So we're looking at the chicanery of the Lord. Of Pilate accusing the Lord, legal trickery that is mean and unfair. He said, what hast thou hast done? There are mighty things and there are merciful things. But then who would read John 21 and verse 25? All right, Miss Kay. John 21 and verse 25. Yes, ma'am, thank you. I mean, just fathom this for a little bit. And there are also many other things, which Jesus did, if they should be written, everyone. Now he's just thinking, I suppose, it's like he's thinking to himself, I suppose even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written, amen. Boy, I don't know about you, but that's some mighty things there. That's some merciful things. And then notice, thirdly, the manner in which he did these things. In Mark chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but you maybe want to write that down in your notes. In verse 37, the Bible says, he hath done, you know what the rest of the verse is? All things well. Imagine that. He hath done all things well. Hey, Jeff, could your mom say that you have done all things well? Probably not, huh? My wife, if you asked me, couldn't say that about me, and no doubt you couldn't say it about your spouse. You might do some things well, you might do most of the things well, but that's not what it says about the Lord. It says that he hath done all things well. You know, it's too bad that Pilate didn't have these witnesses, did he? To speak about his mercy, to speak about his mighty things, to speak the manner in which he did these things, to speak those truths about what Jesus Christ has done. But then notice number 5, notice the confession before Pilate. Who would read once again for us verse 36? The confession before Pilate found in John 18 verse 36. Okay, Mr. Henry. All right. Thank you, Mr. Henry. That Was that John 18:36? Did I tell you the wrong one, Henry? I did do that. Yes. Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Henry. It says, so here we find after Jesus Christ has been asked a question, what does he do? He refers back again to the original question about the king question. And notice the character of that kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. You see, Christ's kingdom is of heaven. It's spiritual. It's not carnal. It's a spiritual kingdom that includes all those who have been saved and born again by Christ's shed blood. It's a kingdom that everyone should want to be a citizen of, but it's sad to say that not everyone will become a citizen. Not that they're not offered citizenship, but they refuse that citizenship to become a born-again child of God. The character of this kingdom is not what the Jews wanted. You see, the Jews didn't want a spiritual kingdom. They wanted a physical kingdom. They wanted Jesus Christ to come and overthrow the Roman government so they could set up again the time of government that they had by themselves back in the day when they used to really serve God back in the Old Testament. And he wanted an earthly kingdom to overthrow the Roman rule. And they weren't interested in looking for a kingdom that was concerned about the souls of men. They were concerned about themselves and the physical kingdom. So the character of the kingdom, and notice lastly the conduct of his kingdom. It says, in my kingdom, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. You know, there's a difference between these two kingdoms, the spiritual kingdom and the physical kingdom. Christ doesn't make disciples or conquer by the sword of steel. We find that Jesus Christ, he makes disciples by the sword of the Spirit or by the word of God. So understand that the king, Pilate, the Pilate was talking about an earthly kingdom. Jesus was speaking about a spiritual kingdom. F.B. Myers, in his commentary of this passage, says this: whenever you encounter a system that cannot stand the use of physical force, that appeals to the law, court, or bayonet, you are sure that wherever it is not the kingdom of Christ. They are who would surround Christianity with prestige, endow it with wealth, and guard it with the sword, expel its divine spirit, and leave only its semblance dead upon a field. It's the other religions. They conquer with swords, guns, bombs, and terrorism. But Christianity conquers the world with the Word of God. And that's the difference between the physical world and the spiritual world. Pilate, Jesus brings Pilate all the way back again to that initial question about his kingship and the kingdom, if he was a king. And he's trying to let him know and understand as much as he can that he wasn't speaking about an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. Well, we'll stop here and pick up on number 6, the confirmation for Pilate next week. And I think as we leave here today, and I want us to think on this thought of, where do you place most of your work? Is it in a physical kingdom or is it in the spiritual kingdom? In 2 weeks, we have opportunity to do a great work in the spiritual kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, winning men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord himself. But the sad truth is, some of us would say, you know what, I'm not gonna do that. I got to worry about the physical kingdom that I live, my house, my home, my boat, my car, my kids, you know, whatever you have. And it's going to keep you from reaping the blessings of God on your life in his spiritual